Bloody Mary Podcast.
Welcome to the Bloody Mary Podcast, where we talk about all things horror while drinking a Bloody Mary. I'm Jesse.
And I'm Tammy, and we are totally married. We got our Bloody Marys, and tonight we are ranking the top five best and worst horror films of 2025, according to us.
Hell yeah. This is one of our favorite segments to do, the best and the worst of the year.
It is, yeah.
Yeah. But before we jump into that and some other things, merch and socials, go to www.bloodymarypodcast.com and you can find some merchandise, Amazon wish list, all that stuff. Check us out on socials, Bloody Mary Podcast on Instagram and on Facebook.
Yep. Don't forget to like, share, and subscribe.
That is important too. Like, yep. Comment, share, subscribe, all that stuff. You can find me at JJH Productions on Instagram and me, Jesse James Hennessy, on Facebook.
Yes. And yeah. You can find me, Tammy Hennessy, at Lil HB.
Yeah.
Or
on Instagram.
Art, on Instagram. Yeah. And my art is HB Sanitarium.
There you go. Oh. You got it out.
I did.
Well, we haven't podcasted in a long time. And we haven't been podcasting for since for the last 4 months.
Yeah.
Often. But the reason why is because I shot a short film, a brand new one.
You did, yeah.
Called Murder by Midnight. And it took up a lot of our time, especially we were doing ramping up pre-production around Halloween and really around the holidays. Plus, we had holiday, just normal everyday holiday stuff going on. But we were deep into pre-production.
We were, yeah.
November, December. We shot a couple weekends ago, 3 days of shooting. It is amazing. We had the best crew, the best cast. I think it's the best thing that I've done so far.
Raddest shit you've done so far, yeah, for sure.
There's a lot. There's blood. There's comedy. There's horror. I can't wait for everyone to see it. It's currently being edited right now. And hopefully it can be seen somewhere around Halloween. So
yeah,
I'll keep you posted with that.
We also, did a cool thing in October. We got to host a panel at our Comic-Con.
Yes, we did. With Ray Santiago and Dana DeLorenzo from Ash vs. Evil Dead, and we recorded that podcast. We recorded that, and we just haven't put it out yet. We were planning on doing that around Halloween, but just so many things happened to where we couldn't get that out. So that will be coming out soon. That'll be a fun thing to put out there once we can get around to it. And then there's a bigger project on the horizon just can't talk about, but it should be probably announced soon. Very publicly.
Yeah.
And that's going to be taking up half the year.
It will.
It's going to be taking up a lot of our time. So the future of the podcast kind of is going to be probably more sporadic. We'll try to do it as much as we can. But there are some things that are going to take a little more precedent.
Yeah. It's some really cool shit, though. And so you guys are going to be excited. And, we did shoot a new intro and we did new pictures and we do have some cool stuff.
Well, for this podcast.
For the podcast. Yeah, yeah. This cool news is going to kind of take up most of our life for a bit.
Yeah. And it's all good stuff. It's all good stuff. So the podcast is still going. When we can, I know for sure we're going to do a Strangers Chapter 3 review, probably.
He's going to make me go to the theater,
guys.
We're going to
do a Scream 7 review with Sean. So we are still going to be doing some stuff when we can. But here we are. We're doing this. That's what we've been doing. Sorry we haven't got podcasts out to you guys. But let's...
thanks for sticking around.
Yeah, we didn't even...
Still popping in when we... When we show up,
we didn't even get a chance to do a Halloween one or a Christmas one, which we really like to do. So, our best and worst films of 2025, there's going to be some controversy. I do believe in our worst category for sure and probably our best. Do you want to kick it off with our best films?
I do.
Right.
And I just have to say that 2025 was a great year for horror because we really had a hard time deciding what our top five was going
to
be.
Yeah, I think we had 10 and we're these all really deserve to be on here for some reason.
Right.
Yeah.
And then I just remember in 2024, we had a hard time trying to pick our best.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was really awesome that we had so many in 2025 that we loved, that we really enjoyed. That's a good thing for horror for sure.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was just hard for us to pick our top five this year.
It was easy to pick the bottom five.
It was.
All right. So go ahead.
All right. So our number five, much to Jesse's chagrin, I think, is Sinners.
Sinners. Yes. Yes. I understand why it's on the list because you wanted it to be. If this was my list, number five would have been 28 years later. Sinners is good, though. It's well-directed. It's well-acted. I'm not the one to talk a lot about the positives. Maybe you would be. I think it's a retelling of From Dusk Till Dawn in a different kind of setting. Very well-acted, very well-directed. My favorite part of Sinners was the post-credit scene, the ending. I really enjoyed that part, that yeah. aspect of it. But the movie looked beautiful. I can't deny that. It was directed well. I do think this falls into the category, but I don't know. It's up for like so many Oscar nominations, which is cool for horror. But for me, it seemed a little overhyped.
Ah.
Much like Weapons is overhyped.
Okay. Ooh, controversy, I know. I thought it was stunning. Mm-hmm. Just, it was shot so beautifully. And I love a good vampire movie, and I love that we're getting a good vampire movie.
Yeah.
That's up for Oscars, you know?
No, that's great.
That's awesome. That is. And I loved just the vampire design and how that all comes together. I loved Michael B. Jordan in both of his roles. Mm-hmm. He was so good. And as each one, and my favorite scene was when they were in the bar and they were kind of mixing the music, the music in and out of like new music, old music, how it was kind of verging into all different timelines were showing up in that scene in the bar where they're mm-hmm. dancing, and just it's like a history of music all right there while all of that was going on. And the end credit scene was great. I really loved it, and I loved seeing another really great vampire movie come out.
Yeah, I agree with the vampire aspect of it, and I love that horror is up in the Oscars, but I disagree with the I did not like that scene that you talked about.
Really?
The musical scene. No, my favorite scene, I like the stuff in the beginning. I really like the ending in the daytime with the machine gun. Uh-huh. And that was really cool. Delroy Lindo was great. I really, really love him whenever he shows up on screen. I just love his acting. And he's up for an Oscar nomination.
Yeah.
And I kind of hope he gets it, because he did a Spike Lee movie a couple years ago. I forget what it was called, but he was really awesome in that. And he was good in this too. So,
yeah. Well, thank you for letting me put it above zombies.
Yeah, no problem.
Because no, if I had to pick, if I had to watch another movie again, I'm going to watch Vampires over Zombies.
Yes.
Even though 28 Days Later was really great.
Yeah. I would have put 20 days later.
Years later
here. Okay. Anyways, so I'll do number four. Number four is an indie horror from Shudder that we really enjoyed called Night of the Reaper.
Yes.
And we always try to like throw a good indie horror on our top five. And this was the one. I mean, this one, it was an 80s slasher, mm-hmm. a lower budget. And I just... You know, it had a twist that neither one of us saw coming in the slasher genre.
No.
That is pretty rare for us. It, for me, just like, you know, knowing the tropes of the genre, like, oh, I didn't see this coming.
Yeah.
So that was really fun to get that. I thought it was really well acted and really well directed, and I love the 80s setting. And it's, you could say cookie cutter slasher, but it does have its own kind of feel and voice to it. And the lead actress was really great.
She was really great.
Yeah.
And like you said, we were both like, oh, shit. Like, we didn't see that coming.
Yeah.
Like, and that is hard to do. So it was really fun to have that twist. Mm-hmm. And for independent, low-budget horror, I really, really like that one.
Yeah.
That one stuck out to me.
Yeah, this would be one where, you know, if I was a kid, I would have rented this on VHS mm-hmm. and watched it. It was cool. Yeah, I liked it. I liked the performances, the directing, the setting, the tone, the twist is cool, and I don't think I've seen it before. So that was really fun.
It was
directed by Brandon Christensen, and he's done a couple other things for Shudder. And I'm excited to see. I want to see this guy get a bigger budget and see what he can do.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'd be cool to see him tackle like a franchise with a big budget.
That would be fun because he did a really good job in this one.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was our number four. So if you haven't checked it out, it's on Shudder. We won't spoil the twist.
Yeah, it's a quick watch.
It's a quick watch, and I think it was definitely just like, oh wow, like we didn't see that coming. That's great. That was really great.
Yeah.
Like, kind of just blown away by that. So. And that's also, why it's our number four.
Also, sideline, we're going to try to be spoiler-free for this. We're not going to spoil anything. If we do, we'll say. Jumping into our number three. These are our top three of the year.
Okay.
What's number three?
Number three, shocking, I have to say.
Yeah.
Is the new I Know What You Did Last Summer.
Starring Jennifer Love Hewitt.
She wasn't the star, she was in it. But, you know, for me, this is the best one of the whole franchise.
It is.
If you've listened to this podcast, you know how much I don't like this franchise.
Yeah.
Or Julie James. And for this to even be on the top five is crazy to me.
Yeah.
But.
Well, yeah, because we did a few years ago, we did like I Know What You Did Last Summer versus
Urban Legend.
And like across the board, Urban Legend was better. And like of the 90s kind of slashers, the revival, the Screams, I Know What You Did Last Summer, all that. The I Know What You Did Last Summer is like the bottom rung for us.
Yeah.
Even though there is like nostalgia for me. And I think that's also part of why it gets on this list, because you get a lot of cameos, you get the familiar setting, you get the Slicker back.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is the best that the Slicker has looked in design and execution. I think this had some of the best kills of the franchise.
100% agree. You actually get to see these kills mostly, because the other ones you didn't get to actually see a lot of kills. Like these ones you're getting to see kills, and you're right. It does bring that nostalgia, even though I dislike the rest of the franchise. I don't think this, well, is it a spoil? It is a spoiler, but we've already talked about this, right?
Well, I don't think we should spoil. I think we talk about, so this movie does something that none of the slashers or legacy slashers or kind of any horror franchise has done. And it's something that we've wanted to see in some fashion, and they gave it to us in this.
Yes.
So I don't want to spoil what that is. You could probably read between the lines. If you've seen our review, go check it out. But it does something that I've wanted from a Scream, or I Know You Did Last Summer, or from a Halloween, any of those. And this one gave it to us, which I thought was really fun. And I'm kind of glad it happened in this one, because it's a risk.
It is a risk.
And so taking a risk with like a franchise that we don't necessarily care too much about, and it paying off was good.
Yes.
Like, I'm Scream 7 coming up. There could be a risk there if they do certain things that we're talking about.
Yeah.
And it could be terrible, and it could be awesome, and it would suck if it was terrible. But anyways, number three, because it was just entertaining.
It was super entertaining. We both were like pleasantly surprised how much we liked this one.
Yeah.
And then again, the twist and how that all played out, we were like, holy shit, like that actually happened.
Yeah.
And it was an I Know You Did Last Summer. It was kind of mind-blowing for me, at least, because my bar was low. It was so low going in, and to have it come out and be like, oh, fucking like that one.
Yeah. No, that was fun. And I'm sure it's not on a lot of people's top fives, but fuck it. This is our list. But I do have to agree that the top two are kind of like a step above the rest.
Yes. For us. Yeah, for sure.
So number two, really great movie. We think Black Phone 2, directed by Scott Derrickson, came back, made a sequel. I think Black Phone 2 is way better than the first one. The setting is amazing. It's in wintertime, and I've always wanted, like, Friday
horror.
The 13th, The Nightmare on Elm Street, a Halloween, like, I know, like, put it in a winter setting, and they did that, and it was really effective. It was really cool.
It was. It was nice to see the kids back. They're grown. The sister was always my, I loved the sister in the first one.
Yeah.
And so, like, just getting that dynamic back, and Ethan Hawke, just fucking stellar.
Yeah, the whole cast is back. The son, the sister, the dad, and Ethan Hawke is back as the grabber.
Yeah.
And he's so good. He really chews the scenery with this, and I want them to make more of these. Like, he's a new killer icon, especially like where they end this one. I mean, yeah. I want to see him come back.
I do too. Yeah. And you know, we get a little something we from like we didn't realize was the truth from the first movie
mm-hmm.
with, you know, their family that we learned about. Oh, yeah. And just you get a little Freddy vibes from it. Oh, yeah.
Hard Freddy vibes. It's like the dream world versus the real world and how they shot that. And so, like, when there's things happening in the dream world, you see it in real life. And like, what I really liked about this is pretty quickly, like, everybody believed what was happening.
Yes.
Like, aside from a couple of people that holed up in their cabin for a while.
Well, they were those kind of Christians, you know.
And it was cool how, like, the third act, there's just a group team up that I really loved.
Mm-hmm.
And a group team up to defeat evil. And, yeah, it was really, really effective, really cool, really creepy, too.
It was really creepy.
And also Ethan Hawke is just awesome.
I love him as this character. Like, yeah. He's so good. Like, just all the choices he's made in the last 5 years.
Yeah.
I've just really dug more than, I mean, he's been in the industry for a while, but I think I've enjoyed him more the last 5 years than I have. Not that I didn't like him before, but like now I'm like, this is great.
Yeah. And he's even up for an Oscar for not a horror film, but I forget what it's called, but he's up for an Oscar. But I watched The Lowdown. That was a really good series. That got renewed for season two. So, yeah, him and his daughter are doing great work.
They are.
But, yeah, Black Phone 2, number 2. It's a great movie.
It is. Yeah. We didn't expect to get a sequel either.
Yeah.
So it was fun to be like, oh, they're doing a sequel?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
What are they going to do with it? If you hear snores, it's our producer, Cash Money.
He's over there snoring away. He's old now, so he just snores. All right, wife, what is our number one film of 2025?
Our number one film of 2025 is Heart Eyes.
Heart Eyes, directed by Josh Rubin. Like you say, it checks a lot of our boxes.
Pretty much all of our boxes.
Yeah.
We get some good, great gore kills. We get some nostalgia in like a 90s slasher. It's like a 90s slasher meets a 90s rom-com had a baby, and this is what you get.
Yeah.
And the acting is great. It's fun. It's funny.
Mm-hmm.
I get to see Devon Sawa, who I fucking love.
Jordana Brewster. Yeah.
Like, it's just so good.
The two leads are really funny, and Mason Gooding, and I forget who the other one is, but yeah, they're both really funny, and it's quick. It's a new IP, so we get a new killer. It would be cool to see a Hard Eyes 2 from this guy.
I hope so. The killer design is really cool.
Yeah.
It's really cool.
Yeah. I mean, it's just a really fun horror comedy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, what I love. I love the opening scene is a lot of fun. The proposal. It has really cool kills. Great killer design, like you said. And yeah, it's cool. It has a third act in a cathedral.
Uh-huh.
And that doesn't happen too often. It's really fun when horror does that. And that was a 90s trope too, I believe, where there was like cathedral or church final acts.
Uh-huh.
So it was kind of fun to see that there.
It was, yeah.
And Josh Rubin is one, you know, upcoming director. Like him, both him and Zach Cregger are around the same age. And I mentioned it before in this, but Josh Rubin came from sketch comedy, like College Humor, I believe. Mm-hmm. Then he started directing. I think this is his third movie. And Zach Cregger came from sketch comedy with The Whitest Kids You Know, and he's mm-hmm. made Barbarian and Weapons. And I'm definitely more, Josh Rubin is more my vibe of a director.
Yeah, like, same.
So he did Hard Eyes this year, and then Zach Cregger did Weapons this year, which was extremely overhyped.
Yeah, controversy, we know, but we both were like,
we have not reviewed Weapons, but we'll touch on it here. Anyways, yeah, Hard Eyes is our favorite film of the year, and it was like came out around Valentine's Day last year, this time.
It was like our date. We went in, yeah. had a date, and went to the movie theater, and it was just, it was so fucking fun.
Yeah.
It was so fun.
It was.
And so that is why it is our number one.
Yep, number one movie of the year, Hard Eyes, horror comedy, great. Yeah. Well, we got some stinkers. We got some stinkers for
the
worst of the year.
And I think some controversy
yeah.
as well, because some people will be like, "What?" And we'll be like,
"Yeah." Well, I'll start with our number 5 worst of the year, and we reviewed this one when it came out. Number five is Fear Street Prom Queen, directed by Matt Palmer. And it's just lackluster compared to the trilogy we had that was really great. Really cool. The Fear Street trilogy. Mm-hmm. And then we wait so many years and then we get this. It was just like...
It was very disappointing.
It was disappointing, and it was just like, I think I said in our review that it just seems like the budget would just spread thin across the board, so you just have like mediocre acting, directing, you know, production value, and they didn't really go all in on like the comedy. They didn't go all in on the gore. Yeah. They didn't go all in on anything. It was just kind of,
Yeah.
Yeah. That's really what it was. You know, and I also think that the final act should have been different. I remember that there was this whole best friend dynamic, and there was an argument, and they finally made up. And I always felt that she should have been part of that third act, where she would help. It would strengthen their friendship, right. And they would defeat the bad people together. And yeah, I don't know. It was just like, this is how you follow up those three great films, which I think those were like our number one movie/movies of the year, whenever year that came out.
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
So it was very disappointing. It was just like, really? That's it? This is what you give us?
Mm-hmm.
So it was. It was just so disappointing.
Yeah. I hope they do more Fear Street, and I just hope that they do better.
Yeah.
Do better, Netflix.
We're going to need you to do a little bit better, okay?
All right. What's our number fourth worst film of the year?
So our number four is Wolfman.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to be a big controversy. I think kind of from what I understood across the board, people just didn't enjoy that one.
It was just not good. Like, I didn't like the werewolf transformation.
No.
At all.
Yeah.
It more like he had a disease than anything else.
Yeah.
Like, if you're giving me a movie called The Wolfman, I better get a really badass fucking transformation.
Yeah.
Say what you will about our least favorite series ever, The Howling, but at least you get some cool transformations out of those.
There was like a really great transformation in the first Howling, no matter how, you know, stinky I think that movie is. There is some cool moments in it. I agree with that.
You know, so it was like, that's disappointing. It's called The Wolfman, and you get something like he's like looks like he has a disease instead.
Mm-hmm.
And then the choice of the wife was just a miscast. Like, yeah. I just did, like, she was so miscast to me that it just pulled me out even more of a movie that I was already kind of not very, you know, it didn't hold my attention. And then every time she was on screen, it just didn't seem like she fit.
Yeah, Julie Garner, she's a...
Love her as an actress.
Great actress, but she was miscast. It didn't seem like she cared about her husband.
Or any of it.
She didn't seem like she gave a shit. And it's sad because it comes from Lee Whannell, who gave us The Invisible Man, which was really great.
It was.
And so to follow it up with this was like, huh? It was just kind of confusing, and it was just more of a letdown because... Like, there were, like, a handful of, like, werewolf movies this year, and none of them were good. Like, I watched Werewolves. That sucked.
Right.
It's a cool premise. It was, like, The Purge, but with werewolves. And so, you know, I just want a cool werewolf movie. I know that the guy who directed Nosferatu, I forget his name, we get Werewolf.
Yeah.
Next Christmas. So that'll be next year. So I'll maybe that'll be good.
Yeah. I'll be interested to see that.
Yeah.
For sure.
So, Wolfman, meh.
Meh.
Meh. Right?
All right. Number three.
Number three. Here we go. Should I do it? You do it. What are we doing?
It's your turn.
Okay. It's my turn.
We're taking turns.
Number three, surprisingly, it's not as high for you, is The Strangers Chapter 2, directed by Rennie Harlan. And as many of you know, we don't like this movie. We don't like the first Strangers by Rennie Harlan. And, yeah, this one is not good. We reviewed this one too. It's just an extended chase sequence with the main girl making idiotic choices. You get a couple of cool things.
No,
she does.
She's a fucking moron. Okay, first of all, fuck right off. Fuck right off. I fucking hate this movie. I hate the first one. I hate the second one. And if it wasn't for the subject matter of the top two, it would be number one.
Yeah.
Period.
I agree. Yeah.
But again, if you put a gun to my head and I had to choose the top three, I'd fucking watch this one again and I'd be pissed off about it the entire time, but it'd be better than the others.
Yeah.
I cannot for the life of me understand. So there's, if you're a horror, if you're a horror fan and you know, like, they had this whole, like, he edited the whole thing in all three movies together, and they did a special screening, and they're all like, oh, it's looking, could be rival terror. Fuck you. Do you mean you cut out all the good shit and you gave us bullshit, and then you're telling me that there's so much of this movie that is so amazing when you put all three of them together and it's just a masterpiece? I fuck off.
What she's talking about is recently in the news, they did a screening of Strangers Chapter 3, and they got surprised with all three put together with, like, more scenes in there.
Yes. Yeah. And I still, you won't, I... How you? So you cut out all the good shit, and then you gave us crap, and then you're like, surprise, here's... No,
So bring it back to Strangers Chapter 2. So what else? I mean, it's kind of not really a spoiler, but there was a boar fight in the middle of the movie.
There was a fucking wild boar in the middle of this out of nowhere.
Yeah.
She just kind of fight a fucking wild boar. She spends so much time in a hospital walking around, making noise, not grabbing any sort of weapon, and not really... Oh, no one's around, and everything is fine. Fuck off. She makes the worst choices ever, and I want her to just die and be done, and we don't need a chapter 3, but whatever.
Yeah, in a couple weeks, we get to see chapter 3, and we'll probably review it
in the fucking theater again, mind you, which is...
It's crazy that these make it to the theater.
It is crazy that they make it to the theater.
Truly, like, they're not good, and I didn't need backstory for who the strangers are. That's like, we don't need it at all. It's not something that's necessary for the strangers. Like, the cool thing about them in the first one is that they're a mystery. They show up, and why are they doing it? Because you're home, and now they're just adding so much lore to it, and it's
unnecessary.
It's like cultish, and I don't really care where it ends up.
It's unnecessary. No one fucking cares.
Yeah.
No one cares. Like, that is, like, the best part of those, quote unquote best part is that you don't know why they're fucking doing it. They're just doing it.
Yeah.
Because you're home. Mm-hmm. And I don't need to know why. Obviously, they're psychopaths. Clearly, they have childhood issues because they're off killing people for no fucking reason. Like, I don't need to know all that shit. I don't care. What I want her to do is pick up a weapon and actually make smart fucking choices. But I've two fucking movies where she made the stupidest goddamn choices ever. And now we get a third one. And it's supposed to be like, it's so great. Whatever. I'm not excited about this. I fucking hate it. All right.
Number two. So what could be worse than that for you?
Number two, which I know people are going to be like, what?
Because it's on a lot of top lists of the year.
It is on a top list. Our number two is Bring Her Back.
Bring Her Back, directed by brothers, Danny and Michael Filippo.
Yes.
They're from Australia, and they did Talk to Me. Which we thought was overhyped. We didn't think it was terrible. We just thought Talk to Me was like just a glorified Ouija board movie.
Yeah.
There was nothing new in it, but people were like, this is so new. And I was like, well no, it's not.
And to me, this movie is child abuse horror. And I am not, for multiple reasons, I don't want to watch a movie, a horror movie, where children are getting abused like that. Yeah. And was the cast good? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Was it shot great? Yeah.
Yeah.
All of those things. But was it an allegory for grief? Absolutely. Sure. But she's also abusing three children.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the whole, like, I can't, so.
Yeah, this just falls to taste. This isn't our taste in film. And for me, the message doesn't justify the existence of the movie. The message of grief, who cares? Like, the stuff that was going on, there were some cool things, but it's not for me. I didn't like what I watched. I wouldn't watch it again. It's not the type of horror movie I like. So, I mean, it really is just the subject matter. It is like, this is like, why are we watching this? I mean, you get a little bit of happy ending, but not really. The whole movie is just a downer. It's just a bummer, the whole thing. There's like no enjoyment in watching it.
No.
And I didn't like it at all. And is why it's our number two.
Yeah. Because I just, again, sure, you can talk the merits, fine, but the subject matter is just not something that you or I like or ever want to watch. And again, if this wasn't the type of movie it was, it wouldn't, you know, strangers too would be number one.
So along the same lines, what is our worst film? It's my turn. It's my turn. So the number one worst film of the year is Peter Pan's The Neverland Nightmare. And I don't think anybody would argue of this being on a worst list or being number one. This is part of the Pooniverse. This is their take on Peter Pan. And it's along the same lines. There's all it is he is a child abducting serial killer.
Yeah. And he abuses children.
Yeah.
Boys.
Yeah.
And he's really he's a meth head. He's just a tweaker who kidnaps and abuses boys.
Yeah.
And Tinkerbell is one that he had abused and
Stockholm syndromed
and is also a meth head. And then it tried to be overly gory, like it tried to be a Terrifier, but there's no fun. Like part of Terrifier is it's also kind of fun. Like we got a lot of abusing children horror.
Yeah, this year.
Which
is, this is mean spirited.
It's just mean spirited. Yeah. There was nothing enjoyable about this movie. Yeah.
And there was no like Peter Pan lore. There was no like magicalness to it. It's really just a drug addict who kidnaps and kills kids. And that's it.
And keeps some of them. Like Hook was one that he kidnapped and mutilated and tortured.
Yeah.
Wasn't, there was no, like, if you're going to have Peter Pan, if you're going to take it, like, why would you do that? Why would you take it there?
Yeah.
Like, I just, yeah. It was another one where like, what?
Yeah. I mean, Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey 2 was better than that. It was like, there was some fun to it. And I know that this is part of like what's it called? They're going to do an Avengers with all these.
Yes. But like, I don't want to see that guy. Like,
well, he's going to be in it.
He's going to be in it, but like, he's not even a good bad. Like, there's not any sort of good bad guy out of it, right? You know, like,
no, there is not.
There's just not.
Yeah, there's no magical. It's just all. It just sucks. The movie sucks, and it's not shot well. It's really not acted well, and it's just don't watch it. It sucks. I mean, you know, if you're interested in this universe of Winnie the Pooh and all that stuff, I don't know. Skip this one, and you can catch him probably in their Avengers one.
Yeah, it was just not. We were both like, I watched it, and I was like, I watched it, and
yeah.
I watched it.
Yeah, so like our top two worst films of the year, Bring Her Back and Peter Pan's Neverland Nightmare, mostly because of just the child abuse.
Yeah.
Which was, there's a lot of this year.
There was.
And there was also some in Weapons, too.
There was, which we can talk about, guys. We didn't like it. It was overhyped for us.
Yeah.
And it was another, like, was she a crazy witch and she had a cool look? Sure. But it was just not for us.
Yeah, well, anyways, those were our top five and our worst five of the year.
Yes. All right. So we need to talk about our special nods because we did have quite a few that we liked.
Yes.
That did not make our list.
Yeah.
So you can start.
Well, we already talked about it 28 years later.
Yeah.
I really love that movie. Danny Boyle is one of my favorite directors. We just saw Bone Temple and God, that was even better.
That was even better.
Might be on our top list next year. So that's, you know, the one for me that just kind of stands out is 28 years later. I really loved it. It was beautiful. I was glad to be back in that world. I really liked Good Boy, another independent horror film.
Yes.
It was a haunted house movie, kind of, just through the eyes of a dog. So your main protagonist is this dog. I thought that was a really cool concept, even if, like, you know, some of the story stuff fell flat, but it was a quick runtime. It was like 70 some minutes. I thought that was a lot of fun.
It was, because you'd never seen a horror movie from the eyes of the dog before.
And there's always like a dog in like haunted movies, and you see the dog like bark at the thing and then run off. And
yeah,
like, so this is like the dog's adventures in a haunted house
what
movie.
What does the dog see when he's barking in the corner? Like, so that was fun. And it was fun to see the dog, you know, like, act and do all that, and that was a cool concept for sure.
What about you? Are there any that you would like
I also have to say Final Destination Bloodlines.
Oh, yeah.
That was a really great cool. one.
Went and saw that with Jeremy. That was fun. We reviewed that, too.
That was a lot of fun. That was probably one of my favorite Final Destination movies.
Yeah.
They had some really great kills. The humor was good. Like, it was just well acted. It was just a lot of fun.
Yeah. I'm trying to think where I put it in my ranking. So it's probably Final Destination 3, then this
oh,
one.
Oh, God.
And then
Final Destination 3.
We also both really liked VHS Halloween a lot.
Yes, that one was really good.
Yeah, that was good to watch. We did watch it like around Halloween, so that was a really good Halloween season watch. VHS mm-hmm. Halloween, of course. That was a lot of fun. Yeah.
It was a lot of fun.
Well,
all right.
Do you want to do like our best director, actor,
yes.
actress, and kill of the year?
Yes.
All right. Who did we pick as our best director?
We picked... I can't remember. You wrote it down.
Was it Josh Rubin from Hard Eyes?
It was.
Okay. It was Josh Rubin from Hard Eyes. Yeah. I like his style. And he did a really, and he, it's our number one film of the year. Mm-hmm. It was directed really well. It was directed fun. He knows what he's doing. He knew how to get the kills, how to get the laughs. It was cool. He's a good director. I can't wait to see him do more stuff.
And he's been our favorite director before, has he not?
I think he might have been for Werewolves Within.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. We'd have to go back and watch. You guys go back and watch. Let us know if that was our favorite director of the year.
And our favorite actor in horror in 2025 was Ethan Hawke.
Yeah, Ethan Hawke, Black Phone 2. Hot damn, he did a good job.
He did. Yeah. I love him as that character so much.
I want one of those a year now. Like, I want a Black Phone 3. There's so many ways they could go to make that. I mean, he's pretty much like a Jason and slash Freddy right now.
Yeah.
He is. Yeah.
Okay. And our favorite actress of the year?
Is Jessica Clement. I think that's how you say her name. But the lead of Night of the Reaper. She was really good.
She was.
She's also in Gen V, upcoming actress. But she did a really good job with that role. It was fun to watch her. Fun to watch young actress make the choices she made.
Mm-hmm.
It was great.
It was really great.
Yeah.
I thought, again, like I said before, it was a really great year in horror for us.
It was.
I thought we had some really great movies. There's some Oscar nods coming out of some of those. Mm-hmm. And it's just really great to see.
Yeah. And what was our favorite kill of the year?
Oh, our favorite kill of the year comes from Hard Eyes.
Yeah.
The winery kill.
The wine in the beginning, her head gets squished.
Where she just gets squished.
That was really fun.
So good. And they're like inside and they're making like peeling parts of her body off.
Yeah,
it
not
was
just
so
the
great.
Kill, but like after the kill, that
stuff. It
was
stuff. Just all of it was great.
Yeah, and I'd say runner up would be teaming up to get the grabber in Black Phone too.
Yes.
That whole sequence is really cool.
It was really cool.
Yeah. It was awesome. I mean, so let's talk a little bit about this year, what we saw in horror television / streaming. I know we didn't review it, but we watched the final season, much like everybody, of Stranger Things.
Yes.
And what'd you think of that?
Loved it.
Yeah, me too. I thought it was great, and there's a lot of people shitting on it, but it was a lot of fun. It wrapped up everything. How I was set completely satisfied. And
absolutely.
It was,
I know a lot of people are like, why didn't they kill? But like the whole point of Stranger Things is a Goonies, is a monster. It's a coming of age, feel good. In the end, you know, they have this grand adventure with all of these things.
Yeah.
And they're growing up and it's a coming of age. And, you know, like that, the whole point of this show was not to kill them off and be fucking sad.
And I don't know why the world wanted like all these kids to die.
Right.
Like, that, along the theme of like so many like movies dealing with like killing kids. And now the world was like wanting these kids to die in Stranger Things. What's wrong with you guys?
Right.
Why do you want to kill these kids? It's like the things that they took inspiration from are like Goonies and Monster Squad and all that kind of stuff. And all those, they lived to, they don't kill off Data from the Goonies.
Right.
They don't kill off junk from the Goonies. Like, that would be a fucked up. Like, why would you want a Game of Thrones Stranger Things? It's just, anyways. Yeah,
right.
That was like, I didn't understand that at all. But I really enjoyed it, especially like the 2-hour finale was really cool. And,
it was.
And it makes me excited to see the spinoffs. I'm excited for the animated show we're going to get that I think takes place between season 2 and 3. I'm excited to see what they do with the show.
Yeah, me
and
too.
I'm excited to see what the Duffer Brothers go off and do, because I think they're leaving Netflix and going to Paramount, if I'm not mistaken, and they're going to be there for 5 years doing shows and movies.
Yeah,
and
so that'll be really cool to see what they do next. But I thought, I love Stranger Things. Yeah. I know there was some episodes in that the last season that kind of dragged, and you're like, well, but you know, they're
but that's every season almost, right, of any show.
And you have to wrap up 10 years, and there's storylines, and you have to hit emotions, and you have to hit all of these things. And I thought they did a really good job. And you're never going to be able to please everybody, for sure.
No. I think in the world of like television and series, like top 10 finales, it would be on my list.
Yeah.
I don't know where, but it would be. So I really enjoyed it. Another horror, Alien Earth was really good.
Oh, that was so good.
Yeah.
That was like, that was really good. Just it was, the action, the way it was shot was beautiful. The action sequences were just killer. Like
acting was awesome.
Acting, like it was just spot on. And a really great series.
I like how it ends. It ends, and but also too, thinking about it too, it the theme also of like Peter Pan and like hurting children.
Right.
Like it's prevalent. Like this year, it was like so much like children in torment, children getting killed, children in peril. Like even, you know, weapons that we, that's like, that's about children in
right.
Like, even like talking about now, like, oh, I forget that that's all about, the whole group is kids.
Yeah.
And they're fucked up.
They I know like the kids died and then they're like, these 9 to 12 year olds put in these crazy ass, their minds anyways. And they're like, what's wrong with these? What the fuck do you think wrong? You put these kids in adult bodies and then there's aliens and there's fucking all this shit happening and you expect them to be okay?
Yeah. And it was really fun to watch Timothy Oliphant.
He was great.
And they did a really good job. And I don't know the actor's name, but like the guy who ran the place, the kid.
The Peter Pan.
It made you not like him at all.
Oh my God,
he did a really good job at making you not like that guy. So I like that. That was a lot of fun. And just like... cool alien designs, cool action sequences. I like the heart. I like where it ends, and I can't wait to see what they do.
I know Welcome to Derry came out, but we had so many things going on when it was out. We haven't got to that yet. So
no,
but I've heard good things about it.
Yeah, that's one. The things that we didn't get to see, like we didn't get to see everything this year. Like we didn't get to see Predator Badlands yet, Five Nights at Freddy's. We didn't even get to see the Silent Night Deadly Night remake. We haven't seen Toxic Avenger. So those could have made our list too, but we just. The last half of the year
was crazy.
It was really ramped up to like get this make my short film well worth it in many different ways. But we didn't get a chance to podcast, see as much as we wanted to. But we actually we did see a lot of shit.
We still did, yeah.
So I mean,
what are you looking forward to in this year? It's already 2026.
It is 2026. Well, we already saw Bone Temple, and that was a great way to kick off the year
because
was. Fucking awesome.
That was so cool.
I just
only
Iron Maiden. That's all you need to know. It's metal as shit.
It is.
There's a lot that I'm looking forward to. Scream 7, of course. We're gonna go do that. We're gonna see that opening weekend and do a podcast review with Sean. I'm excited for Evil Dead Burn that comes out this year. I don't know anything about it. Terrifier 4 is coming out this year, supposedly. Ready or Not 2 is coming out. And probably a whole bunch of other movies we don't know about. So there's like a lot of cool movies on the horizon, and I really hope that all the main ones that I'm excited to see, like Scream 7, Ready or Not 2, Terrifier 4, I hope they don't disappoint.
I hope not too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Strangers 3 comes out in a couple weeks.
Guys.
Or in a week, depending on when this comes out.
He's going to make me go to the theater again to see it.
Yeah, that's fun.
I get to come here, and you guys get to listen to my rant about how much I hated it, because I really don't... I truly do not see how they're going to make me be like, oh my God, that was so good.
I predict it being the best one of the three, but I still predict it being shit. Also, what I'm looking forward to, and I really do think it's coming out this year, they wrapped it, Crystal Lake, the Friday the 13th series, starring, what the fuck is her name?
Linda Cardellini.
Yes, her, yeah. Yeah, I'm excited for that. I'm excited for that, for sure. Friday the 13th is one of my favorite horror franchises, if not my favorite. So I'm excited to get some of that world.
Me too.
For sure.
I think we got some good things coming up.
Yeah, we do. God, is there, what else do we want to talk about? I mean, I just want to talk briefly about weapons. I think it was overhyped. I don't think it's a terrible movie. I think it was completely overhyped. I think it's warranted that. I think she won a Golden Globe for the bad guy.
Oh, did she?
Or in something. She won something, but she's up for an Oscar for that role. But I do think it's overhyped. For me, it felt like that third act just dropped the ball. Mm. It's like, I feel like he had a different third act written and where it was more elevated and like, I wanted to see like them go into this other world where this, the witch had a tree and all this stuff and everybody team up to like fight her. And I understand the comedy of what happened in the third act, but it just, I don't know. They dropped the ball in the third act for me. I was like, okay, she's a witch. Spoilers. I mean, there's a witch and she's like got a spell over kids and that's it. That's her movie. That's it.
Right.
Like there's nothing new about it.
No. Yeah, I agree. We both were like, why is people like, oh my God, this is so good. Because you're just like, okay. Why are they
like, this is the best thing ever? And I was like, it's kind of like how, you know, Talk to Me, was it last year, how people were like, oh my God, this is so great. But it's like, have you not seen any Ouija board kind of movies ever? Because this is just a Ouija board movie.
Right.
But a hand instead.
Right.
So it just kind of felt like Weapons was just overhyped for me.
Yeah.
Agreed. And I don't get it. I think Sinners, for me, felt overhyped, but I get it. It's on our list. I understand it.
Yeah.
I do think there's too much hype with that one, but I get it. Weapons, I don't get the hype for.
Yeah. No, I don't either.
Yeah.
And since we both don't get it, that's why it's not on the list.
I don't know. If there was a number six worst movie, it might have been Weapons. Who knows? God, anything else we want to talk about before we get going? Bear with us with the podcast. We got some cool stuff coming. And if not, you know, there's other cool stuff coming in the world of film stuff. Like we shot a short film and there's another announcement on the horizon too.
Yeah.
So some cool shit coming.
Some really cool shit coming. So thanks for hanging in there and still listening to us. And we pop in here and again.
Yeah. So, what did you think of our top and worst horror films of 2025?
Yes, agree, let us disagree. Know.
I'm sure you do.
There's a lot of controversy, I'm sure.
What's your top five and your least five of the year? Let us know.
Let us know. We want to hear from you.
Yeah.
And don't forget to like, share, and subscribe.
And our Bloody Marys are dead.
And so are we.
Drink in moderation.
All right. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.